If you ever dreamed of making alcohol for a living, the path to becoming a professional brewer of beer or distiller of spirits recently became a little clearer in New York with the creation of a registered apprenticeship program that is the culmination of a partnership with the State Department of Labor, the SUNY system, and two Capital Region businesses. For more on the new pathway, as well as the state of apprenticeships more broadly in New York, we're checking in again with State Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon. Welcome back to the show, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's our pleasure. So walk us through the apprenticeship program that you announced at the end of November at Frog Alley Brewing in Schenectady.
First of all, I should tell everybody, I love apprenticeships writ large. I think it's just an excellent way for people to get trained and have a career path and earn while they learn. But this particular program is our first ever apprentice in the new brewing and distilling apprenticeship. And in apprenticeships, you have a job from day one, so you're paid a wage, you're doing actual work, but you also have to have a certain amount of classroom instruction. And it's interesting, in brewing and distillery, there's a tremendous amount of science that goes into it, so the classroom is very important. But the thing that is great about apprenticeship is, and they talked about it yesterday when we were at Frog Alley, in order to really be a good brewmaster or distiller, you need to have hands-on experience. It's not just book learning. And this gives you the opportunity. Our new apprentice gets to work with a master brewmaster at Frog Alley who's been in this industry for a very long time. And he'll learn right beside Rich about what makes a good beer, what makes a good ale, how you can change the ingredients in order to change the flavor. And it's just a great, great opportunity. It's the first. I know it won't be the last. Frankly, the craft beer and distillery industry in New York State has been growing by leaps and bounds. And there's a lot of attention these days on the local breweries and the local distilleries. And this is a great way to bring in young people to this industry and help them learn and earn at the same time. It's a twofer, because not only are they learning the craft, but also these breweries and distilleries have become tourist destinations. So it actually helps the local industry, because it brings people in to visit the distillery or the brewery, and then they have dinner somewhere, and then they stay in a hotel, and they go shopping. So it's a win-win for everybody. I'm very excited about it. And SUNY Schenectady is the school that's providing the related instruction, and they are very focused. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we did another apprenticeship program with SUNY Schenectady for ARC, which is the supportive help program, people who help people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So these are great programs where people really get to learn great skills, earn a living, and when they finish, they have a certificate that says, this is how I was trained. It's portable, although most of them don't leave the people that bring them in. It's a great program.
And so the program as it exists now would require someone, what, to go to SUNY Schenectady and participate with the Frog Alley Brewing Company? And do you then envision in the future maybe more community colleges and other facilities getting involved in this type of brewing and distilling pathway?
Yes. So we had a conversation yesterday with some folks from the SUNY system, and they're already reaching out to, I think, five community colleges that might be interested in this, because this actually relates to culinary arts as well. So anybody who has a culinary arts program would be able to work in the brew distillery area as well. And I've already gotten interest from some other areas in the state because they realize what a great opportunity this is. It's a growth industry for the community. It's a way to support these local industries. And when the apprentice gets their related instruction, that's paid for by the sponsor. So the apprentice is not paying for community college. The sponsor is doing that, and the apprentice is earning money. And it's a wonderful program.
And the fact that the participant is earning money seems like it would make this much more accessible than internships that people might have been able to get in other fields that are giving you experience or are paying a very low wage and might only be accessible to people who are independently wealthy or are finding other work in the meantime.
You are spot on. That is absolutely true. And I always tell employers, it's a wonderful way to diversify your workforce, because you can bring in people from all different areas, people who may live in underserved communities and don't have those opportunities, but they're perfectly willing and able to be apprentices and learn these skills and be a great employee. So, you know, it's a great program. I should say, the building and construction trades in New York State are the gold standard for apprenticeships. They've had, many of the building trades unions have had apprenticeship programs for almost 100 years. So they've really refined the approach to this. But now we're taking that learning and their experience, and we're expanding it out beyond the building and construction trades. So the brewing apprenticeship is a great example, but we're also expanding it into healthcare, into IT, you know, into teaching, advanced manufacturing. A couple of weeks ago was National Apprenticeship Week. My chief of staff and I drove 1,200 miles across the state, literally, and visited a lot of our programs. And we focused on the advanced manufacturing programs this year because they are newer. And, you know, it's just a very exciting kind of opportunity. You know, people are talking these days about, how do I find skilled workers? How do I find the trained workers that I need? Well, this is the way you do it. You invest in your workforce, and they will in turn be very productive and very local and very loyal and local. You know, I said the other day at one of our meetings, this is an opportunity for a young person to get an apprenticeship, to be able to earn a living while they're learning, to be able to live in the town that they want to, live in the town where they work, to be able to buy a house, to raise a family. And these are really significant opportunities, and I'm very excited about our partnership. SUNY's been a terrific partner. The last several years, we've had a growing program with SUNY so that they're providing the related instruction, and, you know, we're helping set up the programs. I don't know if radio announcers and columnists will be doing apprenticeships anytime soon, but it could happen.
That sounds like a threat to my job, Commissioner. That makes
me nervous.
No, but
you could be the journey worker. You could be training them.
Oh, boy. Well, that can't have a whole another class of young whippersnappers coming for me. I can't handle that kind of competition. But let me introduce you again for listeners in case they're just joining us. We're speaking with Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon about a recently created apprenticeship pathway in the brewing and distilling field. And you mentioned that it's not just limited to brewing and distilling, the types of apprenticeships in New York. And I know that because it seems like every month I get another email from the Department of Labor with a notice about an apprentice program, including for line workers, boiler makers, mm-hmm. and iron workers. What is exactly the Department of Labor's role then in the apprenticeships in New York? Are you simply serving as outreach so that people are cognizant of what's available, or is it go deeper than that?
So we oversee the registered apprenticeship program in New York State, and in order to be a registered apprenticeship program, you have to work through us. And it's a rigorous program. You have to have training outlines that are approved by state ed. You have to have a sponsor who signs on to sponsor the apprenticeships. People go out and do six-month evaluations every 6 months. There are metrics that you need to meet. It's not onerous, but it is rigorous. And that is done to protect the apprentice, to make sure they're actually getting the kind of instruction that they think they're going to get. But it also protects the employer because they know that they are providing the kind of training that will attract quality workers and that they can maintain. We've understood in the past that it might have been a little more complicated to get into this program. We've streamlined our paperwork. We are there to do hands-on help if anybody needs it, but we oversee all of the registered apprenticeships in the state. I should say we currently have 18,386 registered apprentices right now being trained in various trades. There are 975 programs across the state with 639 sponsors. And those emails that you've been getting, we have had 33 new programs and 93 new employers in the last year alone. And 21 new trades have been approved thus far this year. So we are really growing it and very excited to be able to talk with you about it, to be able to let the public know how exciting this opportunity is. I tell everybody now that, you know, we're in a highly technological age, and that's not going to change going forward. All of us need to think about lifelong learning. You know, the days of being able to graduate from high school and not have any further education or get a 2 or 4 year college degree and that's it, that's going to change in the future. So we all need to expect to be upskilled at some point in our careers. These programs are really great foundations for that. And a lot of the programs in the building trades also use their apprenticeship programs to upskill their journey workers. So their people who've graduated from the apprenticeship program come back periodically to learn, you know, is there new technology? Are there new skill sets that they need to be enabled to be, you know, competitive? And so they're great programs to continue to support the workforce as the work begins to evolve.
So if there are registered apprenticeship programs, does that mean there are unregistered apprenticeship programs? And should New Yorkers be leery of engaging in those since they aren't regulated by the state?
With any certification program, you should look for one that is registered, that is actually certified by an authority, because, frankly, anybody can set up a school and say, I'm going to train you to do X or Y. And you have no way of knowing if they're actually training you to industry standards, if they're actually going to deliver on what they're promising.
They could call it Trump University.
They could, indeed, and I think that may have happened. So we want to make sure that people are getting what they signed up for, both the employers and the workers. So registered apprenticeships really are the way to go.
And finally, in your visit to Frog Alley Brewing, did you get to sample any beer or take any home with you?
You know, sadly, it was noon.
Is that a problem?
Well, evidently we were not drinking at noon, so we didn't get to sample it. But we have already told them we're going to come back on our own dime and sit down in the brew house and have a conversation with them and sample some of their wares. If you haven't been there, by the way, it is a fabulous building. The whole area was redeveloped with some grants from ESD and, you know, other parts of the state. They've done an incredible job. It's really a destination place to go, mm-hmm. but the Frog Alley location itself is just beautiful. And they've got outside space, they've got performance space, and you can look in and see the brewing tanks and all of the, you know, where they actually make the beer. But it's a really, really nice place. I highly recommend it, and they were wonderful to host it.
Well, if you're interested in learning more, I know about an apprenticeship program that you might want to learn more about. Well, we've been speaking with State Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon. Commissioner, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.